Blog Talk Radio. Mother's Day celebration. Oh my goodness, I'm loving this rain in here. We're getting here in Atlanta. It's just been wonderful. I think it's moving out, but today there's overcast and the streets are still wet. And whoa, I love the rain. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling wonderful. I'm wonderful. Listen, I guess I should tell everybody that this is Circles of Prosperity, and I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning. And we have been in the book study of oneness. We're almost at the end of the book, Dr. Reggie.
That's a great thing. Very good.
Yes. Well, didn't we have a good time on Friday?
It was a riot. It was wild.
We have to do that more often. Oracle Friday was awesome. So this morning what we're going to do, we're going to finish up chapter 33. We're going to talk about the illusion and whether or not the illusion is enough for us, or how do we put it in perspective, living in the illusion or living in our oneness. Some wonderful topics. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our open prayer this morning?
Yes. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We always say thank you. With an attitude of gratitude, let us move into the energy of thanksgiving and gratitude and know that we're never alone. We walk this journey, this infinite, wonderful journey, into our own ascension and into our own awareness of who we are. Beyond just being human, but we are spirits having a human experience. Let us never forget who we are and that we are embodiments of love, peace, and power. And everything around us, the drama that's unfolding, is the illusion. It's not the reality. The reality is you. And for every single experience that we have that we consider a bad one, we know that the spiritual solution is always there as a remedy and an answer. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Okay, so, you know what? We left off in this chapter. I know we had talked about the consciousness of and the energy of cheating and hating yourself for cheating and how if we move into making a conscious choice, such as I'm going to go off my diet and cheat, but we make it in the consciousness that we're cheating as opposed to I am consciously making this choice and will, and, you know, accept the consequences of that choice, how that shifts the energy in the choice. So, and we talked about that there's not such a thing as a right choice or a wrong choice, but the awareness that we are choosing. That's all that matters. And that we shift out of a victim consciousness where we're pointing for the cause outside of ourselves. Whatever we're pointing to outside of ourselves is the effect, right? It's the end result of our thoughts because we're always creating our life. So as we move through this chapter, we get to a point where we understand the truth of who we are and that which we are seeking, that oneness is within us. here's what oneness says. The truth of who you are is there within you right now. It is not something you can hope to attain by hearing a designated number of sermons from the supposedly learned amongst you. It is not something that you must perform austerities to experience, nor is it something that requires any suffering or sacrifice on your part. It is not a state that you can buy with obedience to any of the countless religious dogmas that your world now offers. But through the vehicle of the original vision of some of those avenues, or through a path one blazes through the uncharted jungles of one's own consciousness, that oneness is experienced. And it's known. And it's never forgotten. In other words, once you get a glimpse of who you truly are, you never forget it. And I was sharing with Dr. Reggie this morning, I said, you know, when we're on this path, this divine path, and we get a glimpse of who we really are, we become hungry for that. We become hungry for it, and we quest for it. It's you know, they say the first time that you take a hit off of crack, that you never have that experience again. That what makes them addicted is that they're trying to recreate that experience all over again. But it's never the same as the first time. When you catch that glimpse of who you really are, your life is never the same. And you quest for that experience, and you're looking for the way to have it and to experience it and hold on to it all the time. And unlike an addiction to crack, you can have that experience and be in the oneness all the time. Even oneness says that you may have spent a good portion of this lifetime seeking the knowingness that has been within you the whole time. So we go on this path looking outside of ourselves and looking to religions. And trust me, I'm not saying anything is wrong with religion, because religion is what made you search in the first place. So it was in your divine path, if you did associate in an organized religion, for you to be there to make you hungry to where you are now. I am so grateful for the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian Church, the Buddhist religion. I went through everything. I was on a quest. I was on the quest for the Holy Grail, and only to find that it was within me. So no matter what path you take, ultimately you're going to have to come back and deal with you. Because it is within you. I want you to take a deep breath here. And I'm going to repeat this to you. Because the truth of who you are is there within you. Right now. And it has been within you the whole time. And you may have had glimpses of the very thing you have been searching for without even realizing it. For the state of silent awareness is not one that shouts at you to be recognized. It is extremely subtle. It is simply there, and you are there. And then you are back within the embrace of the illusion over and over again. So at that moment when you took that deep breath and you connected with your divinity, It felt good, didn't it? But as soon as you hang up the phone from Circles of Prosperity and a bill collector calls, or you go turn your computer on at work and get started with work, whoop, you're back in the illusion. Ultimately, the perspective of pure awareness is retained. Ultimately, you will stay connected. And you will just be aware. And as you continue to ascend vibrationally through the levels of physical perception, you realize that you have come to embody the isness that you have tasted in the center of the storm. When that perspective is recognized and is known to preside in your awareness, you know, without knowing how you know, that you are no longer where you were. And from that vantage point, the world in which you were born and in which you have played out the animated scenes of your personal drama is a world relegated to the realm of memory. It's an archive of experience that you're welcome to revisit at will, but now when you choose to look back upon those episodes, you do so from the perspective of the overview, because now you're able to see in retrospect the truth underlying those experiences. And now you can witness for the first time what was obscured and colored by the intensity of emotion. And once those veils of emotion have been lifted, then there's true objectivity. And the memory becomes a vivid picture. It's vibrant in its aliveness, but it's revealing the gift of the clarity that was there all along. So what are they saying? You were in a marriage, and you guys decide to get a divorce. You've been divorced for a couple of years. And you think back on that relationship and how you got to the point where you say, I don't want to be with you anymore. And there's a lot of pain associated with that. There's the emotions of hurt, disappointment. But as time goes on and when you move into this oneness, you begin to recognize, and those emotions dissipate, and you recognize the beauty of that relationship and the growth that you experience because of that relationship. And that's a beautiful thing. That's all oneness is saying. When you clear the emotions, you begin to see that with clarity what was really going on. You'll even recognize some of the errors that you made. And you learn from that experience. As you process and label, as you decode and reassess the memories in your personal archives, you begin to see where you have traveled for the very first time, for it is rarely possible to see where one is from the vantage point of illusion. As long as you're in the mess, you really can't see how far you've traveled, how far you have progressed. But once you have distanced yourself from the circumstances of your personal past, you can recognize familiar territory in your present experience. And through the lens of the greater vision, the authenticity of the moment is clarified and categorized automatically. And one remembers very fondly nearly identical scenes that escalated into full-blown episodes in which one's ego presided at the center stage. So in that relationship, maybe it was you were fighting to be right. You were fighting for, you don't pay enough attention to me, or you screwed up all the money, or you did this and you did that, and you just want to make this person suffer. Because they weren't adequate, according to you. And then when you get out of the relationship, you go, oh my goodness. I was a little overbearing. I really did not appreciate who you really were or who you really are and what you really brought to that. I kept, and you know, we do, we have that with people sometimes. We just have this image of what we want them to be rather than looking at the gift that they really are. So the realization is instantaneous now. As you move into oneness, you immediately recognize it. And the self-recognition produces barely a ripple upon the waters of your awareness, just a knowingness of what was, thanks to the vantage point of what now is, and an overwhelming sense of gratitude for the richness of the adventure. It was a mess when you were in it, but when you look at it now, you are grateful for it. And you know what? You cannot move to the next, and I don't know why I'm harping on relationships, but you can't move to the next relationship with all of that stinking thinking. Because what will happen is that you'll recreate the same mess. So the perspective of the witness does not allow for self-recrimination or for regret. You don't have time for it. There's no need. You made a choice. There were circumstances. You dealt with it. You learn from it and you move on. And we spend so much time. Why did I waste all those years with this person? Or why did I waste so much time at a this job and I don't like it? I could have been doing something else. You had lessons to learn. That's why you were there. You set about to illustrate for yourself an unforgettable story, and the poignancy of that experience would not have been possible if you had simply sampled the concepts in theory alone. You can empathize with the vicarious pain and traumas of another being, but you cannot truly walk in anyone else's shoes but your own. You could not have hoped to attain the perspective of true knowingness had you not supplied the vivid details of true life experience yourself. You need to go through it and experience it for yourself. And I say that again. I always, when you hear these lessons, and if you have children, especially those that are just venturing out in the world, you need to pay attention to what they're saying here. Because we want to protect our children a lot of times from their choices, and we can't. And those choices are put there so that they can learn. They are creating their life. We have such a hard time releasing our kids. We want to control every act. And you know what? We call it love. But in a lot of ways, we're hindering them. This clarity that comes of hard-earned experience is what you now have to give to others who are where you have been. Now you are able to reach out in a way that is real to others in the throes of the process of awakening. And now you are in a position to really make the mark upon the world that you had always silently hoped to, one compassionate moment at a time. For now you are in a position to speak from a place of self-knowledge, and that vantage point is only possible when you watch the returns of your movie and your eyes are wide open. And even if it's with your children, you can't reach them unless you can be honest with them about your journey. And your experience. We tend to preach to our children, but we don't share with them our journey. Because we're trying to uphold this image, a lot of us. So we won't tell them all the stuff that we went through. But if you're going to help them, you have to let them know that truth. And so that they can understand, I know where you are right now. And you have to do it without judgment. It's with compassion, isn't it? Oneness tells us that what creates our compassion is the fact that we have walked through the experience, which is why we can go back and grab and reach down to help our brother. And they tell us that they may not be willing to hear. And for us to let it go. Even Jesus said, look, if you walk into any town and they don't accept you, knock the dust off your sandals and keep going. Truth is truth is truth. It is not possible to whitewash the passages of the saga that you have lived. You got to be honest about it. You can't whitewash it. There is no disguising the details of your sacred journey in gestures of denial. Got to be honest. Nor would you wish to. For what is sacred? And listen how they talk about this. The worst thing that happened to you in your life, oneness says it was sacred. Oneness calls it sacred. Oh my goodness. Please breathe on that. What is sacred is the authenticity of where you have truly been on your journey into humanness, not just the pretty parts. In order for a story to have something truly of value to offer, it must be moving and it must be memorable. That is why you wrote it the way you did, and included passages you knew would be unforgettable. All of those things that caused you so much pain, it's sacred. How many of us really look at that and say, this has been a sacred experience? I doubt it. I doubt it. Let me say this. I didn't. I won't clump you in there with me. Some of my sacred journey I would not call sacred. It was pure hell. But there comes a point when you do look at it and say, I'm thankful. Sacred is, I have to stretch for sacred. And I'm so glad they said that because it helps me to embrace it with love and to be thankful for it. So now, waiting in the wings of your awareness is a time of distancing from the turbulence of your transformational odyssey. It comes not as a culmination of your process, but rather as a pause in the action part way through. And this time for quiet reflection has been provided to allow you to digest the details that have gone before and to prepare you for the road yet to be covered. So be aware of the fluid nature of the ascension process and know that you have not awarded yourself a permanent vacation from the work at hand, merely an opportunity to become comfortable with it. You know, we go so far in our spiritual development and we want to sit on our laurels. Oh, yes, I'm spiritual. Oh, yes, I'm so aware of the divinity within me. We got the language down, right? I'm into my oneness. I am witnessing my life. I'm the witness. I'm the observer. Ooh, the language. And oneness is saying, you're just taking a pause. You got some more work to do. Don't get too comfortable here. And I love that we are eternally evolving. For all eternity, we will evolve. So a quiet period of reflection provides the space to survey what has transpired and to make key decisions on where one now wishes to be headed. Listen, as you look over your life, you guys have learned how to manifest what it is that you desire. You've learned how to manifest anything that you desire in the physical world. And this is what I put in this subject. If you know how to manifest whatever it is that you want in the physical world, what's left? Is it really that important to you, what's in the material world? Or is it something else? And I propose that there is something else that we're looking for, that we're looking for that oneness and to be in that reality all the time and detaching from this illusion. The key to all that has held you in its grasp is the emphasis you have continued to place on being in the good graces of others. From the perspective of the overview, the price of keeping the peace is too high, and one begins to question the importance of those relationships and to sever ties that prevent the implementation of your own highest choices. So one of the things that they're saying that keeps us tied to the illusion is wanting to please others or what others think about us. And we need to let that go. This is your opportunity to create the life that you want, the life that you desire. Here's another one. When one understands the dynamics of manifestation, it becomes apparent that the choices implemented must be a reflection of your true intent and the instrument of your will rather than the adaptation that has been created to accommodate the expectation and needs of others. And at that level you now approach, the impetus to action must remain unencumbered if the highest possibility is to be realized in any given circumstance. And let's just take this for a moment and talk about it for a minute. Okay. We are co-creators with God. We understand that if we have a clear intention and our will is in alignment, that we can manifest anything that we desire. That's the law. The question is, are you manifesting your intention and your will or that of someone else? So when we look at society and how society is set up, Okay, let's just take this, okay? It tells us to go to first grade, second grade, then we go to middle school, then we go to, they have this whole path laid out for us, right? And we go to college and we get a degree, we select a field that we want to be in. Who, is that our intention? Is that our choice at that point? Maybe on some level it is, but someone has defined a path, and I know I'm being real rebellious here, and I'll tell you why I'm being rebellious. I'm going to be very honest with you guys, because I can only speak from my perspective, right? We all have our own perspective, right? That's what makes us unique. So this is my perspective, so I'm sharing, and I would love for you to share. If you want to share, press 1. I spent a significant part of my life trying to be so-called normal. That means the way it was defined for me when I was growing up was going to school, getting an education, getting a job, staying on that job for I don't know how many years, and retiring. But that was not my nature. And I think I've shared this with you guys before. I was not that kind of stable person. I'm a creative spirit. And so it took a lot of work for me to be that way, and I wasn't good at it. Because I'm a creative spirit. I desire to create. And when I say creative, I love the arts. I love music. I love theater. And that's not so-called stable. It wasn't like an ordinary life as it was defined for me and my household that I grew up in. So I found myself living a life not based on my intentions or my will, but that of my parents. And I always felt that I was a failure because I could not be that. I could only go so far with it, and then I would just get bored. It's like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. So that's why I ask you. You're a co-creator with God, and you can manifest whatever it is that you desire. But who are you doing it for? Is this clearly your intention and your desire, or is it that of someone else? And oneness is telling you that the key to all that has held you in its grasp is the emphasis you have continued to place on being in the good graces of others. Because even society says, well, if you aren't this way, you're a bad person. They place all these judgments on you. If you don't do it, if you drop out of high school, you're a mess, according to them. Good morning, Jean. You have a comment?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Cynthia. This is awesome. This lesson here. I remember it's been, I guess, 14 years now. I decided to come out of an image of a life that I should live and work in, and when I did that, I found my joy. I really did. I was in corporate America, went to school. I was following the image, actually an image that my daddy wanted me to follow. And I rebelled. You know, I did well in corporate America, but I knew it was more. And I really ended up just having a lot of quiet time and going within. I remember walking in this, I had this park I used to go in at lunch and just spend spend quiet time in that park. And from there, I was able to, it's just, you know, I manifest just coming out and getting into my joy. I am a healer. And when I did that, that's when, I tell you, my I just felt like my life just went up to another level. Because I love healing and healing people.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes, getting away from the image and coming out that box. I felt I was in a box. I boxed myself in. I knew it was more that I had to do in order to bring me that joy, that unspeakable joy to get up and, you know, to go out and help. And it wasn't in an office box.
That wasn't it.
And once I was able to go within and manifest and come out, that's when I found my joy and the freedom and got away from the image in so many ways on my life. Image of being married at a certain age. I was able to pull from that, too. That was another image that I had to deal with. But all is well. It all turns out. All in divine order. I am so happy. I'm at a point that I'm able to share my story to other young ladies and men too, and let them know there's nothing wrong with you. You are normal. Whenever you decide to go within and follow your path.
That is so true. Thank you so much for sharing that. You see, I'm not the only one. And I'm sure that there are many others who will listen to this archive or who are on the line right now who are ready to move into your joy right now. And that, I love the fact that Jean said, that's when I found my joy. Because we've learned in Circles of Prosperity that when we're moving in our joy, we are in oneness. We're experiencing oneness. That's your joy is your emotions are your Geiger counter, and the emotion of joy is a clear signal that you are in alignment with oneness. Anyone else this morning, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. So, and I'm going to go ahead and continue. It says that when you begin to question the importance of those relationships and to sever ties that prevent the implementation of one's own highest choices, that you sever those relationships that are not serving your highest choice, you will be inclined to surround yourself with companionship that affords you the maximum possible latitude of motion. Or oftentimes we'll choose solitude or total isolation for this period. Listen to Jean's story. Jean went into solitude. For me, it was Dr. Reggie. Dr. Reggie released me from the bondage and said, you can do whatever it is that you desire. Don't be afraid to pursue your dreams. He gave me that latitude for motion. For Jean, it was solitude and isolation. So you will be unconcerned with the attempts of others to manipulate you into implementing or endorsing their choices. And you will begin to view the actions of much that surrounds you as transparent and comical. You will observe the petty squabbles that dominate the lives in your midst and will walk through that turbulence untouched. The outcomes of those conflicts will not concern you. For you know that none of it matters. The day that I decided to move to California, I never told my parents that I was leaving because I knew that they would tell me that I couldn't go and would work on me and try to manipulate me. So I didn't tell them. The only way they found out is I had to go back to the house to get my luggage. So I waited till the last minute to go to their house to pick up my luggage so I could pack. It was the day before I was going to leave. And to watch the trip that they went through because I was leaving and going 3,000 miles away. And they were desperate. My father calls me on the phone and he says, if you get sick out there, don't call here. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, they're just afraid. They talk to me like they were my children. They're only afraid. They don't know what to do. They don't mean it. It was a desperate attempt to manipulate me to stay. But when you are in oneness, you recognize it is all revealed to you. There's a quiet sense of strength that rises in you, and you are coached through the whole process. Your higher self, that which you call God, will coach you through the whole journey as you make that transition. You will never be alone. You are never alone. When you cease giving power to the opinions of others, you release the tethering vibrationally that ties you to the illusion. And that release is traditionally done in increments throughout the process of transformation. Yet for some of you, the realization will be instantaneous, and the shift in your loyalties to your own shoulders will be sudden and dramatic. Some of you, may take a little longer than others, but you'll get there. So to drive to simplify every aspect of your life experience will become the dominant theme of this phase of your transformative journey, and you will focus your awareness and direct your intent toward activities that dissipate all that is superfluous in your life. The direction of your life's work will shift to reflect your innate sense of joy in being alive. Did you hear Jean's testimony? She found her joy. She's a healer. When you get rid of satisfying everybody else in your life and you focus on you and your intention, you're in your joy. They're telling you that. That's the key. And you will focus your awareness and direct your intent toward activities that dissipate all that is superfluous in your life. You're going to get rid of all the junk, and the direction of your life's work will shift to reflect your sense of joy in being alive. Anything that is perceived to be alien to that focus will fall to the wayside during this period, and you can expect to emerge from the profound metamorphosis that follows with the perspective built on a foundation of self-love. I love me. I love, and the way I shifted was, I love the God that is in me. I love the divinity that is in me, and I'm going to do everything in my power to let that expand, to protect it, and to honor it. I'm praying that you will do the same. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer? Dr. Reggie. Dr. Reggie, are you there? Dr. Reggie, I think, I think Dr. Reggie fell asleep. Do I have a volunteer this morning for the closing prayer? Or is everyone else asleep? Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you, Anthony.
No.
He's precious, isn't he?
I say sometimes our mind go in a state of meditation there's a word that we probably have not created yet, in the state between sleep and conscious. It's that middle stage of subconscious and conscious. And it appears like we sleep. I've heard some cases where people appear to have been just out of it and not congruent to the surroundings. It's like they're in that middle state.
Yeah, I think that's where he is.
Yeah, I think so too. So let us pray and just thank God for wherever we are now and just be thankful that we are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, the creator of all the universe. Thank you for Mother Earth. Thank you for the yin and the yang. Thank you for the positive and the negative energy. It both works and goes throughout our beings to make us who we are. Thank you so much for this message. And thank you so much for the thoughts that we receive and ascend to as we hear these messages. Thank you for Jean's testimony, and thank you for Cynthia. Thank you so much for all you've done. Thank you for just allowing us to be who we are. We're just thankful, whoever that is. We're just thankful to be who we are because we get to say this day who we are and who we choose to be. Thank you. Amen. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Anthony. You guys have a blessed day. I love you so much. I love you as God loves you. And be faithful on this journey. It's a sacred journey. God bless.